Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
And this week, we are heading into the deep blue sea.
That's right, from the director of A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, comes maybe one of the best shark movies ever. Like, we've got so many shark movies, and we all know what number one is. The top five is always interchangeable, but goddamn, deep blue sea's gotta be in there.
Every shark movie comes with the precursor of like, well, we didn't want to do Jaws,
right.
So.
Yep. Also, Jaws would not have been right for this season of the podcast. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right up top.
Yes, it would not be. This movie is definitely a fan favorite. You can't go through a lot of shark-related conversations without somebody mentioning Deep Blue Sea. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that it's borderline nonsense.
I thought you were going to say borderline unwatchable, and like borderline nonsense is pretty close, but like I'm here to defend this movie.
It's borderline nonsense, but it's so well done.
God, it's so watchable.
It is very watchable.
This is a banger of a blockbuster. This movie still holds up. I don't give a fuck. Just because the sharks are a little pixelated doesn't mean that I don't love it.
It's just very dark when we see the sharks eating people. They're like, just turn the contrast down. Just turn that way. Exposure down.
Yeah. I don't know that the science necessarily makes a whole lot of sense.
Oh,
I
it doesn't.
Care.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't give a shit. It
doesn't make no sense at all.
You're going to give me a shark movie with Samuel Jackson? I'll take 4 more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. God damn.
This movie has an insane cast. I just want to say, I see this movie, I'd say, like, every 2 to 3 years we
really?
End up watching this movie.
Okay.
Why are you surprised? You're with me.
I don't know the last time I watched this movie.
You know what? It was probably the last time we recorded an episode on it.
That's probably true.
But I'm just surprised every time a new character shows up on screen. I'm like, what? There's a Skarsgård in this?
How the fuck did this happen? Ada Turturro's in this movie?
Michael Rapaport?
Yeah. Everybody. We got LL Cool J. We got Thomas Jane, who you don't really hear from much anymore. But there was a period where Thomas Jane was you know, like almost an action star.
He's a true blue hero in this one.
In this one. And he's a criminal. It doesn't really it never comes up other than for Samuel Jackson to be like, I don't know about this guy. Like, we just need to have.
And he's like, he said something about like, oh, I'm on probation. I'm following my probation. It's just like, are you allowed to be out on the water? Don't you have to check in or anything?
I think they've given him some sort of allowance. They're just like, oh, well, science gets a
pass. You can't do crimes out there.
But okay, so but ultimately we learn that Dr. Susan has brought him in to this research facility as part of the team because he's got something to lose. And it's like he'll keep his mouth shut. But
he's
they
a
still
shark
keep
wrangler
him.
And they think he's stupid.
What gave them the indication that he was good at this? Because he went to jail for what? Like, thievery or something?
I assume he's a diver or he's got some like marine biology.
He studied in prison.
Yeah, maybe he got his degree.
You know what it is? It's the license plate thing. Like, that's why he's able to fetch that license plate out of that shark's mouth so easily, because he spent 5 years punching license plates in prison, which is a real thing. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I've only seen that in movies, and then every once in a while you find out it's a real thing people do in the real world, and you're like, oh, fuck, okay. I guess prison inmates make license plates.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing if they pay them, but they usually don't.
They pay them very, very low.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's so stupid.
I like the prisons that like give them pets and stuff.
Yeah, like sharks. Which is how Thomas Jane became such a great shark wrangler. I just don't understand his history. I don't really care because
yeah,
he's pretty good at it.
He's very good at it. He understands the sharks. He's not afraid to swim with the sharks.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to tranquilize the sharks and be around the sharks. And everybody else is a scientist and does not want to be.
I know. And he's got like, it's like he's got street smarts on sharks.
Shark smarts.
Shark smarts, which the scientists don't have.
He's
They're
shark
like,
smart.
What's he doing? He's a crazy man. They're coming right for him. And he's like, hey, I was hiding over here. I deked the sharks out with a fake submarine tank. Submarine? The scuba tank.
The insanity about this movie is how the subject matter is just handled so seriously.
Yeah.
Like, we helicopter in, and we're in a CEO's office, and we're talking about, you know, we could cure Alzheimer's with this research.
It's full stop right there. Shark movie. Like, why are we studying these sharks? Alzheimer's. You're like, okay. Like, that's the most goofy, outlandish thing I've ever heard.
It is, because why shark brains? Why,
I don't know.
Why their brains?
Well, they explained to us, Kim, because sharks
are smart.
Yeah, basically. It's like as they age, their brains don't rot, you know? Like they remain as smart as they are, and they don't get cancer. And like maybe all that's true.
But so they're not even using mammals though. Sharks are not mammals. Sharks are fish.
So?
They're the farthest that it's not the same brain type. Like
opposite trek.
I don't love animal testing, but there are animals that are closer to the human brain. That would maybe, you know, create results that might be similar to results in human testing.
They're just looking for some, like, unobtainium, some sort of weird chemical
they're like,
brain
so, well,
thing.
Well, the thing is that they started with sharks and had to reverse engineer a story from that.
Love it. I mean, that's how all shark movies go.
So, sharks. All right, we got sharks. What if we did base? Okay, sharks, base.
Yeah. You hit
writer's
block.
Alzheimer's brains!
Well, obviously they're doing science. It's always a science facility where all this shit goes down, right?
Well, because the greatest thing about this movie is that these are super sharks. And yeah, they have, like, plausibly, despite the fact that their science is questionable, manufactured smart sharks.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know if you recall some of our previous episodes on Jaws and its sequels.
Nope.
In which we were having an argument about sharks being vendetta sharks,
fuck, yeah,
and having vendettas. And I think this film, they definitively have vendettas. It is personal, and these sharks are petty.
I don't know if they... I think these sharks are so intelligent that they're beyond vendettas and pettiness.
What are you talking about?
This movie has a Kansas City shuffle that the Sharks have been pulling the entire time. Like, you sat down to play poker and you didn't even realize these Sharks had an ace up their sleeve. The whole time, you think these Sharks are just using their intelligence to hunt you down inside your own facility. But nah, joke's on them. They realize at the end, after interrogating a Shark, I guess, like, I don't know how they came to this conclusion, like, wait a minute, the Sharks haven't been trying to kill us. They've been corralling us. They've brought us right where they want us. They were forcing us to flood the facility
so they
could get up top.
They had to use Stellan Skarsgård's body to break the window to get in. They had to use that in particular so that they could see that he did not survive.
I'm sorry, do you forget the scene at the beginning of the movie where we see the three sharks at a blackboard and they're writing down their plan? And the scientists see them like, oh, and then they scatter. That's literally the end of the movie where they're just like, oh, this was all a long con. They needed us to get up to here so they could get out.
A shark turns an oven on in this movie.
Yeah, I think that one's by accident.
It's debatable, but I'm just saying that is on the side of vendetta.
Actually, this is how we know the shark
is... A cook in an oven? He's trying to kill a cook in an oven.
Oh, well, we did see that shark laugh to himself.
Sharks have irony.
Well, he was smart. This is how we know he was intelligent enough to turn it on, because he turned on the gas, but not the starter. Like, he wasn't like, I'm gonna cook this guy in here.
He can't read. He's smart, but he can't read.
He's never come across a pile like an ignition switch before.
There's no printed material down there.
Man, I do love the end of the movie where Thomas Jane's explaining, oh my God, they've been planning this all along. I mean, it just goes to show, like, you want to know what a big Mako shark thinks of. It thinks of this deep blue sea. Man, I miss when we used to have to say the title of a movie, like, legally almost. And sometimes it never made sense, right? Like,
in this, it doesn't quite make sense.
Not really.
Like, that's a very poetic choice of words.
The deep blue sea. Yeah.
Also, songs for the movie, like songs made for the movie.
Man.
That's something that we don't do anymore.
Can you imagine if The Monkey ended with a song written for The Monkey?
I would love it.
I know, like, we used to have, like, what was it, MC Hammer, who did the Addams Family song? And yeah, LL Cool J doing My Head Is Like a Shark's Fin.
It makes no sense.
Deepest blues.
I love it. I love it. It's a total earworm.
He's the hero of this movie. Like, whether or not he's... Well, I mean, he is by the end of the movie, legitimately the hero of the movie. Even if he died halfway through, he'd be like, he's the hero. He's the real reason everybody rewatches this movie.
You know why, though? It's because his bird is so mean to him and does nothing but call him names, and he still tries to save that damn bird.
He still tries to save the bird and then spends the rest of the movie...
he gets revenge.
Avenging that bird.
He's like, you killed my bird!
They couldn't have written a better line for him when he kills that shark, like, you killed my bird. You know they had 18 different takes.
I think he said, you ate my bird.
You ate my bird.
Which I think is more impactful.
Okay.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I feel bad for that bird, though.
I'm sure that bird's okay. I don't know.
No, he ate it. He ate it.
I don't think a real bird got ate on camera.
No.
Oh, you mean you feel bad for the fictional bird?
I feel bad for the character bird.
All right. I feel bad that he never named him anything other than bird. That's the real reason this bird's giving him such a hard time.
Yeah, but the bird was a dick to him, so...
The bird was a dick because he didn't name him.
Yeah, debatable.
I do like that they're super smart. I think that's great. You know, because, like, it's an easy way for you to get the sharks to do literally anything and just be and completely justify it.
Yeah, because the sharks are literally breaking down doors inside the facility to get at the humans or to get out ultimately.
Mm.
But in any other movie, you'd be like, wow, these sharks are really zeroing in it.
Yeah,
zeroing
how the fuck
in
did they
coincidentally.
Figure this out?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like it's because of fucking vendetta or something.
But the anger I don't 100% get from the sharks, because, like, yeah, you're just like, fuck it, quit toying with my brain, quit fucking with me, I'm not an experiment. But, like, they gave you the brains that you could think that way.
Are they upset about that? I think they just want to get out. I think they just want to get back in the sea.
Yeah, okay, that's fine then.
They want to
escape the
facility.
So the sharks
are the
true heroes.
Yeah.
We're their captors.
If only they had have experimented a little bit more and we could have gotten to a point where the sharks were, like, communicating via Morse code.
Ooh, I like that. Isn't that just sonar? Isn't that what they're already doing?
I think Morse code and sonar.
That's just dolphin.
Yeah.
I'm sure fish do it also.
Okay.
Is it just dolphins?
That's echolocation, right?
Yeah, but that's still like sonar.
True. Moving on. I love when the humans discover that the sharks are maybe too intelligent to fuck with. Like, oh shit, something's wrong. We don't know what to do. It's when they swim backwards. Like, did you see that? Like, the sharks, they recognize that gun. You're like, well, first off, they swam backwards. That's fucking insane.
I love that. They were like, sharks don't swim backwards.
I'm guessing they don't.
Yeah, as soon as they saw the gun, they were like, scatter!
Pocket sand! And they got the fuck out. Yeah, it's such a cool moment. And then they also get the sharks to swim backward a lot throughout the movie. Like when Dr. Susan is trapped in her room because she went back to, like, rescue her floppy disks. This movie came out in 1999. Aren't we beyond, like, aren't we at CD-ROMs already?
I don't know. I think a floppy disk would hold up better.
In water?
Than a CD. I don't know, though.
Anyway, the sharks are
CDs
constantly...
CDs can't even get scratches.
The sharks are constantly attacking her and lunging at her and then, ooh, and then swimming backwards to, like, hide. They do too much hiding in this movie for being in small rooms. They're like, 30-foot sharks, and they can hide in a puddle.
It's because they're smart.
It's because they're smart. Well, I mean, I also love just seeing a shark go down a water-filled hallway.
Yeah.
That's an image.
Yeah, pretty cool. Even just the fin menacingly in the corner, and, like, you're looking from the fin at the hero who's, like, standing on a metal table that's nearly submerged, and you're like, you're not safe.
What's your favorite death in the movie? What's your favorite kill?
It's obvious. It's universal.
Uh-huh.
No one will disagree.
Is this a spoiler alert? Should we put an alarm on this one?
It's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, so, they are standing above an open area with access to the water, and at the beginning of the scene, just kind of, like, innocuously, Thomas Jane is just like, don't stand too close to that. And then, you know, they're moving about the scene, and Samuel Jackson's about to have his big, huge monologue.
Oh, it's so
where
great.
He's, like, going to get everybody on side, and we're all going to be heroes, and we have no choice. We got to do this. Blah, blah, blah.
We've got to work together.
It's the fucking amp up of the movie.
Yeah.
It is the speech of all speeches, and he gets 8 in the middle of it.
Oh, man. Incredible. And they've been working toward this for so long. I had forgotten about the groundwork that they lay for this because he's got some backstory. Like, you know, despite what everybody says about, or despite my reputation, I don't like heights. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, and then they're like slowly dribbling this backstory that he got caught in an avalanche.
Yeah, but he got everybody out, so he's a bit of a leader. And, you know, like, this is clearly a story that he tells at, like, shareholder meetings or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm gonna get us out of this. Because let me tell you right now, a little recession's nothing like a fucking avalanche, right? Cheers, break for applause, take everybody.
Yeah,
into,
but
like,
Thomas Jane is having none of it because he's like, I know you're here. You're checking on your investment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's ultimately the reason he's shown up, right? He's deciding whether or not to shut them down. I love that he keeps walking around saying, like, let me see what my $10 million bought. And he keeps asking questions, like, don't you know what you spent money on? If you were spending $10 million on something, you'd know already what you spent it on.
He just wants... He doesn't want the cure for Alzheimer's. He wants the cure for Alzheimer's so that the stock goes up.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's how all investments
that's
go.
That's how it is.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
How do you feel about Dr. Susan, who is arguably the lead character? I mean, you can kind of argue that Thomas Jane is actually the hero and he's the main character.
Yeah.
But Susan is our emotional center.
But even also, though, isn't Preacher the lead character? Like, this is an argument we could have right here.
It's hard because he's also not with the main group. Like, we keep cutting over to him. It's just him and his bird against the world.
Yeah.
So I would say that she's kind of like supposed to be like our emotional center. That's why it's like, it feels like a huge betrayal when we find out that she has done something morally gray.
Yeah, but she's but like,
genetically engineered the sharks to be smarter.
But she did it for science, because
that's
why
I'm saying morally gray.
Yeah.
So when she at the end does this huge heroic act, she cuts her hand and she goes in the water. The last shark is trying to get out,
and but it just can't resist having one more snack.
But it's like, oh, I really hate her though.
It's like when you you're already full, but there's only one slice of pizza in the box. You're like, I guess I could just finish this before I go.
Yeah, like, I was gonna throw out the box, but I should finish the pizza first.
Uh-huh.
She dies.
Yes.
She gets eaten
in
the finale. Like, she is at the finish line,
mm-hmm.
and she gets eaten. And I think that is refreshing. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's refreshing, too. I mean, I think they had to do it because
she did a bad.
Well, she did a bad, but, like, we justify it a little bit by her going back for the data, right? Like, I'm going to get the floppy disks. I'm going to get all the info, because then all of this wasn't for nothing. You know, it wasn't useless. All of this death wasn't useless. And then Preacher's just like,
it's like
all
the,
death
it's
is
the
useless.
Equivalent of them getting out of Jurassic Park, but trying to take some of the DNA with them, because, like, otherwise it was for nothing. And it's just like, but didn't we learn that this experiment was a failure?
Yeah, well,
haven't we learned that this was a no?
100% in Jurassic Park, this do not take the DNA with you. This is a big no. But I think her taking some of the research out, if she was able to get it out, I think that would help. I mean, obviously, the way they went about it was wrong, because the sharks weren't big enough. They didn't have big enough brains to extract enough of that protein.
So that's what I'm saying is, the biggest problem is that it's not just a cure. Like, they haven't just tested on these brains. The serum itself seems to actually be brain liquid from the brains of these sharks.
Yeah.
So for them to be able to create, market, and release this as a medicine, a cure, a treatment,
yes,
they would have to enslave smart sharks and steal their brain matter.
Don't you think they'd be able to reverse engineer it from there? Like, I think what they wanted was to be able to test it. And then, like, once they have that sample, then they might be able to... No, probably not. You're right. They'd probably have to just have this giant shark farm with these massive with these massive sharks that are just, like, ticking time bombs waiting to escape. We literally make them as intelligent as whales, or as smart as human beings, and then we trap them, and we chain them up. And we extract juices from their brains. You're right. Like, I mean, we wouldn't be able to go forward with this.
Yeah, they need this particular, like, shark enzyme or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, maybe in a few years we could genetically, you know, manufacture that, like, a stem cell in a lab.
Yeah.
But if they get that testing out of there, if they get those results out of there, and they cannot recreate them, do you think humanity would just be like, oh, well, we have a cure for Alzheimer's, but we're not going to do it because it's means of sharks?
Oh, 100% that would never,
like,
happen.
I think the...
They would do awful things to those sharks to
cure
Alzheimer's.
The executive decision as somebody on that base is to kill all the sharks and the data and then never mention it again.
Right, this is like a Godzilla problem where we have to destroy the monster and the machine that we used to destroy the monster. Like, we have to destroy all my research. No one should know how to make this kind of weapon. And no one should know how to, like,
Godzilla wouldn't have even come out if if they didn't.
Well, exactly. That's like a chicken and egg scenario.
The sharks wouldn't be smart and angry if you didn't make them smart.
Exactly. And that's why science is the enemy? I don't know if I should be saying that out loud right now. But that's essentially what this movie's saying. Like, there's a lot of, like, you're playing with God. And, like, you're messing with things you shouldn't be messing with. And also, everybody's praying. There's a lot of praying in this movie.
This is a little different, though, than, like, genetically modified apples. Like, if we're modifying apples to be bigger so that we can, you know, feed more people, that's cool and dandy.
Sure, go crazy.
Shark farm? I'm gonna draw a line there.
And, like, I think in a normal movie, yeah, they'd be able to get the research out. They'd survive. They kill the sharks. A lot of our people died. But, hey, at least it wasn't for nothing. And we can go on and use this data to try and save people.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the movie, like, the movie does inevitably take the stance that, like, no, absolutely not. And that's why I think she has to die. Like, if she was able to get those floppy disks out, then she would totally have survived. But because those floppy disks got destroyed, you're basically forecasting that she's got to go. Like, the only other way it would work would be, like, she sacrifices herself, and then at the end, Thomas Jane and Preacher snap the floppy disks, you know, like, as the rescue crew's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a weird ending, because the audience would just go, like, you're just signing the death certificate for a bunch of people with Alzheimer's. But you're right, like, it's a bad way to go about it.
I like that they kill her, though. I just think it's a little bit cruel, and in a way that this movie has been to other characters, and
sure,
so should be to her.
Right? They did not have to kill Michael Rapaport.
They didn't have to kill a lot of people.
They were especially cruel to Stellan Skarsgård.
They were especially cruel to him. Even like the helicopter guys and the woman in the tower, we had like POV shots of fire eating them.
Yeah, it was rough.
And getting blown backwards. Like, it is real rough.
Stellan Skarsgård is especially cruel because he gets his arm bitten off by a shark in the beginning of the movie. And then, you know, when they're trying to helicopter evac him out during a hurricane, the winch that's pulling him up breaks.
I just want to say, just a side note about winches. If you ever see a winch in a movie, it will malfunction. It will stop working. It will break.
I hate to tell you, Kim.
Have you ever seen a winch not break? I don't trust winches.
I mean,
because
in a movie,
of cinema.
Sure. I've used winches before. They're great.
Don't you doubt them?
No. Because, and I'll tell you right now, when we finally upgrade our teeny little car to a reasonable sized truck or something, because we live in an area where it kind of requires that, we're probably getting a winch on that truck so we can pull ourselves out of a ditch if we get stuck.
How do we winch ourselves?
You attach it around like a tree or something.
Oh, okay.
Depending on how you're stuck, because then you might just get
fucked.
I don't
trust it.
But you're right. Anytime there's a close-up shot of a winch in a movie, that thing's getting fried.
Yeah, that winch is going to kill somebody. Uh-huh. It's a Final Destination moment.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
We survey the room to see what can kill you. It's the winch.
But, like, shout out to this movie for not... Well, one, it would have been great if the shark had leapt up out of the air and grabbed Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh, okay, so another cruel moment, though, is when that one scientist lady, the blonde one,
yeah,
she is in the...
Skarsgård's wife.
Yes. She's in the... And I don't think it's an elevator shaft, but it's like a cylindrical tunnel that can get you upwards.
Uh-huh.
It's flooding. They're trying to climb up on things. She can't reach Thomas Jane's hand. And then she goes under. And they're like, oh no, we lost her because I couldn't reach her hand.
Yep.
The shark lifts her up in its mouth.
Shows her to them. Like, oh, is this what you were trying to get?
In a reachable distance. And then pulls her under. And
which
you're just like,
slippery.
Fuck, that was rude.
Uh-huh. I know. Like, they did her dirty. They did her husband dirty, Skarsgård. Guard in the movie because they grab him in the stretcher and they drag him underground, which, you know, crashes the helicopter into the tower at the top, so like all their communication's gone. The Smarks are sharp enough to know this.
The Smarks.
Yes.
The Smart sharks.
They're smart enough to know this. And then they use Skarsgård like a rock. And then they just toss him into the window to break the glass.
And he's fucking alive.
Yeah, he's alive the whole time. Oh, man. Love it so much.
That glass was not reinforced enough if just something hitting it once was enough to chip it and break it open.
Kim, these are giant monsters. They have so much power. Sharks, like, they can swim so goddamn fast.
Okay, so pick a higher rated glass.
I mean, you should pick a glass that's strong enough. I mean, if the shark just decided to ram it, you'd want it to be able to withhold that.
Yes, or like a hurricane or something, like something debris flying into it.
That elevator shaft though that they go into, like the
it looks like a flood zone because it's got measurements on the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, well, wait, I think there's that later. I can't remember.
Well, it's a separate shaft, I think, because they go into a second one.
There are shafts.
But that whole sequence is cool because this is right after Samuel L. Jackson's been eaten, and the only alternative they're trying to debate between is swimming down through that opening and
swimming
getting
down
up to the
swim
top.
Up.
Yes, exactly. Or going through that maintenance shaft to get up to the top. But as Rappaport explains, because he is the guy who explains everything.
Because he is the nerd in the room.
Well, he also just in the movie just explains everything, like for me, the dumb guy in the audience who like was not paying attention to what the scientists were saying.
There were moments where we were asking the movie questions. We were like, why did you do this? And he would literally afterwards he would answer the question.
It's like they're doing to us what we did to them. Like, oh, okay, I'm back on board. I understand what's happening here. So he explains that we don't know what the condition is up top, so if the top level is breached and essentially the shaft is open at the top, it's going to depressurize, and the immediately the room that they're in is going to start to flood. And that's exactly what happens. They open it up, and then there's just like a backdraft of air, and then poof, like this geyser of water comes up, starts filling everything, and like one, they would never be able to close that door to
There were a couple moments where they opened and closed doors. I did not think they would be able to, but cinema.
And, well, again, like the answer for the next thing that I'm about to say, cinema, is that there's this whole talk at the end where they have to get from like level two and swim up to the top, and Thomas Jane's just like, hey, so make sure you breathe out while you go up, because you're going to depressurize as you go, and if you rise up too fast, you're going to get the bends, you're going to die, essentially, like you'll go unconscious and you'll probably die. That would have happened immediately as soon as they entered that shaft and opened that door, because it would have depressurized too fast, and what he's saying will happen if you rise up out of the water too fast would have happened to them there. They would have opened that door, all of the oxygen in their blood would have just like exploded, and they all would have passed out.
Yeah. The odds of survival are much lower than movies will have you believe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. cinema.
Well, I'm just surprised that they researched, and I haven't verified this, but just like the...
I want to commend them for researching, I think.
The blood pressure and heart rate of a shark in stable condition.
Oh, yeah. That shark's resting heart rate?
I just assumed. 50 BPM? Yeah, I just assumed. I was like, all right. That
checks out.
They figured out the blood pressure.
This giant 45-foot shark? Sure, why
also,
not?
Also, I did not see a blood pressure cuff anywhere on that shark, and I wanted to know where they would get the blood pressure. Would it be like that thin spot before the tail?
It's like
where would they get the cuff around?
I think they did it with a laser. You know, like the way that like your Apple Watch is like, hey, your blood oxygen level's this.
Oh,
like,
man, sure, the shark sure, with sure, a watch sure. on its fin? Bro.
He takes a second, he looks at it like, time to die. Or like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh, sorry, that's my alarm. It's dinner time. I have to eat before I take my medication.
Oh, boy.
It's a fun movie.
It is fun. It is so much fun.
We get a lot of good shark death. We get a lot of really good human death. Man, I love it when they bite Michael Rappaport in half and we see his like foot twitching and shit.
It's so cruel. That's the great thing, too, about this movie is we've got like real flooding. There is so much flooding. We are seeing actors like tossed in water, most likely stunt actors. But there was one moment where like Thomas Jane got chucked in the water and I could see his face.
Oh, yeah.
He was chucked.
Thomas Jane looks like he's chucked. Thomas Jane looks like the kind of guy that would do his own stunts.
And like LL Cool J or his stuntman in the stairwell getting plowed with water is just insane stunts. And yeah. Also, there were explosions, there were helicopters. Horror movies don't get that money anymore.
No. And Rennie Harlan, I mean, you know, not 100% of his movies are A-pluses, but like, goddamn, he loves a good explosion.
I, too, love an explosion. Uh-huh. Explosions and sharks? Could you ask for more?
You know what else Rennie Harlan's directed, right?
No.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Fuck! Okay, that movie has the best explosion. It's on the Rainbow Bridge in between Niagara Falls, New York and Niagara Falls, Ontario.
Yeah.
It is on the actual real border crossing.
Which we had a real explosion on last year.
And they exploded it. And it was so good.
It was fucking incredible.
Explosions in the Snow is almost as good as Explosions in Sharks.
We gotta find an excuse to do that movie on the podcast. You know, like
Christmas.
Well, yeah, but it's not really a horror movie, right?
Yes, it is.
I mean, we could just, it's our fucking podcast.
Chefs do that.
Yeah, chefs do that.
There are a few sequels to this movie.
Is there more than one?
I think so, because when I was in Wikipedia, it was like the series of films. So I was like, oh boy.
I know there was a Deep Blue Sea 2 a couple years ago, and we are all excited by the news and probably didn't venture beyond the trailer. I have heard things about it.
Mm.
It's a shark movie, so I'm probably going to end up watching it eventually. But it's low on the list.
Is it more like science-based stuff?
Probably not. Are you kidding me? It's going to be like, oh, there was a baby shark we didn't know
about. Yeah, but we heard about this treatment, and it's still on that base. We have to get back there or something.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I don't know, man.
It might not even have anything to do with it. It's just like, oh, yeah, shark in the ocean in the deep blue sea.
Just say Deep Blue Sea. It's a sequel.
It's a legacy sequel, and we retcon the entire first movie, and we only focus on that weird rich fuckboat at the beginning of the movie where like those couples are hanging out. It's like the most expensive catamaran in the middle of nowhere. Like who ventures out that far?
I do love though that this movie has a slasher cold open.
Yeah.
Like it is telling you straight up front, this is a horror movie.
Uh-huh.
This is a horror action movie. Prepare.
Don't you wish some of that shark POV though was like in the sneaking port
doo-doo.
Parts where the shark's looking
doo-doo
around,
doo-doo-doo-doo-doo
like,
doo-doo.
Oh, LL Cool J thinks I'm over here, but I'm actually here, bitch. You know.
I'm sure that's difficult. Shooting sharks is difficult. Shooting shark robots is difficult.
They did themselves no favors in this movie. They're like, hey, what if every room was flooded with water and our cameramen also had to just sit in it?
The actors were soaked from minute 20 to the end of the movie.
Don't you hate like when you have to do dishes for more than 20 minutes and your fingers are pruning? Imagine being in a goddamn pool all day, every day to shoot a movie.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. They did a great job. This movie rocks. It is a perfect summer movie. It's also a perfect April movie, whenever this is coming out. Always delivers. I'm always happy to watch this one. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Deep Blue Sea. I mean, like, it's okay. I'm not really into the mood right now.
I would say if I were to do a shark list right now, this would be a number two for me.
Yeah.
It would be Jaws and then Deep Blue Sea.
Ooh, that's tough.
And honestly, the Samuel L. Jackson death scene is a lot of that. It is a lot of that.
I mean, this movie's really smart about playing with some tropes that you would see in a big blockbuster action. It's smart. Okay, well then, I assume you're a 4 out of 4 on this one?
I'll 3.5 out of 4.
Yeah, I'm also 3.5 out of 4. 4 is too much.
It is a little silly, and...
I love it for how silly it is.
But it ignores the fact that it's silly entirely.
Oh, it's very serious. Like how the Meg is too serious.
Except for LL Cool J, because he's doing a lot of one-liners.
Didn't we hear that he was supposed to only have like a couple lines of dialogue? Like he was barely in this movie and that he was just crushing it. And they were like, this guy's great. Let's just give him more lines.
He was fighting his own fight completely separate from the rest of the characters. Uh-huh. And we kept cutting back to him.
Yeah. He had such a B-plot that you would expect this for a character who's important to the rest. Like, oh, we can only get out of here if we had this one piece of information, and we keep cutting back to that guy. Like, oh, I hope nothing happens to him. And like, he is definitely integral to their survival at the end of the movie, but it's a surprise.
I love when he's like, he finds a video camera and he's leaving like a video diary for his family.
Yeah.
He's like, what do I want to impart upon the world?
He's bearing his soul. He's like, I've loved the Lord and I've loved the bottle. And you know, like, and this is my legacy. What am I supposed to give? What do I have left?
And then he gives them an omelet recipe.
He's overjoyed. Like, there's like such despair in his face where like, I'm gonna die out here, and it's just, you know, I'm just gonna have to deal with that. And then beaming smile. Here's how you make the perfect omelet.
Okay, so what's your rating? Is it 3 out of 4?
Yeah, I think I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 4. Yeah, I think before we put it on, I would have assumed 3. This movie's a lot of goddamn fun.
It's hard to not love it. It really is. Mm-hmm. Most shark movies are implausible. You kind of have to leave plausibility at the door.
Yeah.
You do.
This movie's impossible. But it's also impossible not to love it. A movie, too, that you never have to upgrade beyond VHS. It feels like a VHS movie.
It does. I was really sad that we were watching it in widescreen. I was like, I don't think this movie should be widescreen.
This is supposed to be a pan and scan. It's like, man should not play God, and man should not watch Deep Blue Sea outside of a 4:3 aspect ratio. All right, well, that's what we thought of Deep Blue Sea. Let us know what you thought of this shark movie and where it falls in your shark ranking. You know, hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. Social media is a cesspool. Let's just hang out over there.
Woo! Smarks. This is our very first time doing a season of Nightmare on Film Street, and we're doing it our way by having a secret theme. If you think you have cracked the code and know what the theme is for this season, hit up the link in the description box, in the show notes, wherever it is, and let us know what you think the theme is, because you will be entered to win a prize pack if you are correct.
Yeah, what do you think Deep Blue Sea has in common with Fire Walk With Me or The Bone Collector? I bet you can't guess. I bet you can't even figure it out. Surely somebody out there has already got it. But yeah, like Kim said, check out the episode description. There's a link for you to submit your answer there. We'll be back again next week with another clue to the secret theme. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kimmy.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Namakon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.